on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
It's John Dean Cox again, this time he's in! At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan to Hue.
Capable of anything. To Hue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient!
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to this week's Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm Trevor Singfield, and in the studio tonight we have Karen Harrison. How are you, Karen?
I'm good, thank you. Hello, Trevor, and hello, everybody else.
And also to my right we have Grant. Grant Conway, how are you tonight?
Good evening. It's a fantastic time to be an Orient fan. I keep checking the table all the time. I can't quite believe that we're in the top 10.
Well, so tonight we'll talk about that emphatic win at Pompey on Saturday. We're going to talk about our new permanent signing, Brandon Cooper. Sol Brind and his current excellent form. We probably can't avoid the transfer window. We will preview Bolton, our visitors on Saturday, and our regular slots of Victor's View and Roper's Ramp, but surely he can't be ranting, but you never know with Matt. So before we listen to what Richie had to say after Saturday's game, I'm going to just give my panel a heads up that they've got to think of other O's emphatic away day wins, which we will chat about later, time permitting. But of course, we'll see how it goes now. But first, here is Richie speaking to Dave Victor after the match.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. Just how proud are you of that performance?
I'm proud of all the players. The last five or six games have been an accumulation of what we've been doing all season, but we haven't been able to play the way that we wanted to play. We haven't been able to get certain players. I thought Max Sanders was excellent. Dan Agi was excellent. We haven't had them players available. And I also think that it's probably a good time to play Portsmouth because they just lost Robertson, who was an excellent player. You know, and we started well and we didn't give them any breathing space. The kickoff was excellent and got us up the pitch straight away. You know, and we pressed them and they couldn't really play through us. They had a few chances in the first half with a penalty and with Bishop's header, but, you know, we had quite a few opportunities to score a few more goals. So I'm really proud of the players. I thought that, like I said, you worry when you go away to Bolton and after 9 minutes you're 3-0, you want to see a reaction. I know what my reaction is going to be, right? At 3-0, I know what some of our supporters are thinking. They're thinking, oh, well, this could go to 4-5-6. But in my head, I'm thinking, how can I get the next goal? How can I get the next goal to change the outlook of the next 5-10 minutes? And we've done that, and we got it back to 3-2, and we took massive confidence from that game. And then we've obviously beat Cheltenham and Charlton and Cambridge, and then obviously come in here, which is a tough game, a tough environment, but an environment that we've learnt from in the Bolton game and took it. I thought I won 2-11 today, and then the subs that came on, everyone contributed, everyone was excellent, and the work rate was brilliant as well.
Four straight clean sheets and then very good penalty save from Sol Brind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, I'd have to see it back. I'm not sure it was a penalty if he caught him or not. I think Shackley's trying to tackle the space, if you know what I mean. And that was it was probably two real pivotal moments of the game. The penalty miss and our goal just before half time. We've been getting better from set plays, but I have to say we've been getting better from set plays because our delivery is now on point where we want it to be. And Theo's delivery today was right on point, and we managed to score from two set plays.
It was a heavy defeat that Portsmouth inflicted back in August. Just how much of a benchmark about how far you come was today's result? Oh,
so I turned around to Matty today. And when was our first goal, Tom? 30 minutes. I turned around to Matty after 28 minutes and said, we're miles better than these, but it's reminiscent of the game that we played at home. It was never a 4-0 defeat. We should have been in the lead. And then all of a sudden today, we just took the goals at the right time. You know, if you take your goals at the right time, it gives you confidence. It changes the mood of this place, of the supporters, who have to say stuck with them. And then obviously, the penalty save was a big moment, because if it would have gone to 2-1, then this crowd would have been right up for it. And then obviously the goal before half-time. So the harder you work, the better instructions you listen to and you take on board, and you do, then you earn your luck. And we had a little bit of luck with the penalty save, although it's a good save. I think we deserve the 3 points.
And Shaq Ford is really developing, isn't he, as a player?
Yeah, I mean, he could have scored with a kickoff of his first touch, but again, he's a young player, and after 25 minutes, I thought he was outstanding. He then gets his goal after 30 minutes, and then he just wants to show everyone how good he is for 10 minutes. And that's what happens with young players, and they make the wrong decisions. That's why I think Portsmouth are a really good team. Experience all over the pitch, make the right decisions. You've got Pack and Morel, and you've got Lowry coming on, really good footy players that make the right decisions, and we're trying to get to that level. I still would like us to calm the game down a little bit more, especially in the final third, and have more possession around their box, but we are getting better.
Jordan Brown and Dan Ajayi took their goals well.
I mean, I couldn't really see if it was Brownie's goal, but Dan's really good at that. You know, he gets a flight of the ball early, and he's very good at coming across. We've seen him at Crewe do it a few times, and he's really good at getting across people and glancing the ball in. So I think he knew a little bit more about his than Brownie did.
Max Sanders, okay?
Yeah, he just had a stomach bug on, obviously. To be fair to them, they made a clever change and went to a system that causes our system a problem. And I probably should have changed it probably 5 minutes early. They just got to our final third too comfortable. And when you play against this team and they cross it and they've got Bishop in the middle, you need to negate them threat. So I probably took 5 minutes longer than I wanted to in terms of making a change or change of shape. Sorry, Dave. But when we matched them up and changed our shape, whenever we've done that in the past, it's been effective. And I thought it was effective in terms of making a game a little bit scruffy in the last 20-25 minutes and not allowing them any real... I can't remember him having a chance in the last 25 minutes, so you know, we didn't need to take any risks. I'm having a conversation with Matt Harrold that I didn't feel comfortable, but when the ball turned over, we looked like scoring the fourth, and I let it ride a couple of times, and we didn't get the fourth, and we didn't need to take the risk, because, like I say, I've been here before, and as a manager, and one goal can change it, because behind that goal, especially when they shoot into that end, it can change the thinking of players, and players can shrink, and I didn't want any momentum shifts.
Over 1,000 travelling fans, and they enjoyed it, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, we give them a performance that they can all be proud of, the players, and it's great that the supporters at the end and singing Right Till the Death, all of them stayed. Unfortunately, I will not be giving them fist pumps. I see people doing fist pumps when they're 15th in the league. That's not me. I'll give you a fist pump when we win the league, like I did last year. Not that we're going to win the league this year. But I just think that it's a good performance, brilliant day for us. But I stay consistent in the way that I work in terms of performance levels, internal. I'm not one for going out. I'm having a little bit of a laugh and I enjoyed it. But please don't ask me to do it, because I'm not going to do it.
Another big test on Saturday. Now, Bolton's game wasn't finished today because of a medical emergency at the ground.
I wasn't aware of that until you just told me. So, listen, I don't know. How long did the game go on for?
I think they played about 20 minutes.
So, listen, it's one of them. We've had that situation this year where it's not nice at all. So, whoever is in the crowd at Bolton, we wish them all the best. And hopefully they're okay. Brilliant football club. We had a tough test in the first 10 minutes. But I think we're a different team. I think we've grown from that. So, it's going to be an hard game. But it's one that, we look forward to it.
Finally for me, any comings or goings before the visit of...
No, I spoke to obviously Tom and George yesterday, and Brandon Cooper, who we think will help us in terms of freeing up a loan and being a permanent. I think that would be a good signing for us, and maybe also a wide man might come in early next week. I just think that, again, we're flogging Theo. He plays 90 minutes every single week and it can be tough. What I want to do is I want to get more energy in the team, so we look more comfortable in the last 20-25 minutes of games.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That was Richie in conversation with Dave Victor after the game. So let's go and talk about this. Portsmouth 0, Leighton Orient 3. Goals from Ford, Brown and Ajayi. And we were unchanged. So the team lined up with Brillingall, Galbraith, Beckles, Hatman, James, Brown, Sanders and Elmiz in midfield, and sort of a front three of Ford, Ajay and Archibald. And I think we'd alluded to there that Richie was quite cagey with his subs, and Prattley replaced Sanders on 58, Sartorio replaced Ajay on 62, and then a double substitution. Piggott come on for Ford and Turns come on for Galbraith. One thing I did notice when I was making my notes for this game, that Rhys Byrne was the goalkeeper on the bench and not Howell. So I don't know what happened there, but the unused subs were Sweeney and Moncur. So we left at 9.05 from Waterloo to Portsmouth Saturday, full of your normal pre-match joyfulness, think, yeah, we're going to get on today. And straight out Portsmouth Harbour, we're greeted with a tall ship and an aircraft carrier. And so we made our way to the pub quite opposite. I can't actually remember the name. St. Anson's Pub, which is very nice, very welcome. Nice mixed crowd near Portsmouth and Orient. And we later moved on to the Lawrence Arms, where we met up with Karen and her crowd, and they chose that pub and they thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was one of those games, Portsmouth, I like, because you walk to a proper football ground, so it ticks a lot of boxes. And there we were. We go into the ground, and Karen's going to describe the three goals that she saw in the first half.
Goal one, I was offering my sister a crisp. Goal two, I was taking a selfie with Anna Fleming. And goal three, I was taking a selfie again with Court, the American Texan guy that was over at the ground. So, yes, as I was telling people, I actually missed all three goals, but I have seen them on the highlights. So, I was there actually to celebrate, so I was at the game.
And if you haven't seen this American guy, Texan, come over for his first ever game, he must need a warning that it's not always like this. So let's get on to the game itself and the lineup. Unchanged since the previous game, and I think for the life of me, it's the first time it's happened this season, obviously because of injuries, this, that and the other. But it's nice to have a settled side as such. Grant, what do you think? Because in his interview, he says he's proud of the players, and we started well with a good press. And it was a good start.
A very good start, and first goal is always important in any game. It's obvious to say, but it really is important. And what a classy goal. What a reverse pass by Max Sanders into Ford. And he just had that moment's hesitation, Ford. He didn't rush his finish. He waited. He knew he had a bit of time, and he literally passed it into the goal. Absolute quality goal. He's coming off the wing at the right time. Ford has been a revelation over the last sort of 6 or 8 weeks, and kudos to the coaching team and also to the boy himself for the fact that he's really thriving in that right channel role now. He's not really hugging the touchline as such. He's more like, as we were talking on the way up here, Trev, the Drinham role, but he's doing the Drinham role better than what Drinham was doing when he was
goals,
in the side.
Yeah. Yeah, the point you make there, he was probably exposed when he was leading the line at Chesterfield, when you wouldn't think that team was going to go 4 weeks later or 3 weeks later and give Portsmouth a lesson in their own backyard, would you?
No, you wouldn't. But I think the setup of the team at Chesterfield wasn't right. And generally, the performance itself, right the way across the board from the management, right the way through to the players. And that was the low point of the season. And since then, we seem to have recovered. And I'm really pleased about that. It wasn't a great day. And I think that Texan guy should have been at Chesterfield, because that would have been a proper experience of watching Orient that we've been used to for so many years now.
As well, you say about the team and how we are compared to Chesterfield. I just think that everybody just got a bit more zip in their step at the minute. Across the whole board, there's some players that regularly, in my view, I'm not going to name names, but there's some players that regularly turn up and they're turning up to take their money, and they just don't seem to want to put the effort in. But the last couple of games, they seem to really want to be putting the effort in, and you can really notice the difference. They're that little bit taller, they're that little bit quicker, and just seeing them with the zip is it's nice to, you know, I mean, you should play with everything that you've got if you want to play. So
I thought that we looked a little bit tired against Wickham, which was understandable given the programme of games that we had. But then to play Cambridge, we've had a little bit of luck. I think we played Cambridge at the right time. They were absolutely decimated with injuries in that game, and we played well and deserved a win, and we could have won by more. And I think we've taken confidence from that. Then we had the week off because we weren't playing in the FA Cup, which we won't mention again.
I do think it did help that we kept them fresh.
And then he's played an unchanged team at Portsmouth and have carried on. And again, Portsmouth are in a bit of a funny run at the moment. But over the season, these things even themselves out. But we certainly played those two teams at the right time, even though I'm not taking too much away from us from the performances themselves. All these clean sheets, it all galvanises the team, and their confidence is clearly up at the moment.
Yeah, the mini winter break probably has done Orient a favour, like you say, and it is the zip and that. And also, I've got to mention it, the white kit. We all look taller. He's saying, I know Real Madrid, the story that they played in white and this, that, the other. Even my first Sunday morning side that we built together, we all played in all white. And you do look taller. And when I was looking back onto the pitch, I thought, we look the business out there today. And yeah, it is true, that zip we had was, we really were hungry. Really, really, it was incredible.
I don't know if it's the design of the kit as well, but they all sort of, you know, I'm a woman watching men's football, but they all sort of know, they look trimmer. You know, they look, they just look ready to go.
Yeah, you can't see.
The impression to the other team, those little factors like that, when you're looking around at the opposition, you think, well, they look fit and strong, etc. You can't help but put those things in your mind. Yeah. And when you're up against an individual battle as well out on the pitch, those little factors can make a difference, because in the fine margins at the level we're at, but, you know, they've got players that are playing, they seem to be a hit form. I mean, Theo is far better than he was even back in sort of November, December time. He's really hit form at just the right time when we needed him. With Graham being out, he's really playing well at the moment. But of course, Adji's really coming on strong, and you can see that the team are thriving around having someone that can actually lead the line. We don't really play, we were talking before we came on about that, we don't really play with a 4-4-2 or a proper number 9 as such. We play with more of a false 9 type formation, but he does lead the line. You know, the goal against Cambridge, how he just sort of struggled through and somehow managed to retain the ball and then nick it past the goalkeeper. Those are the things that we haven't been doing, and they really do add to the team and to the squad from game to game.
And I like that we're playing football rather than long ball as well, because in all the passing, it gives them confidence because they're controlling and they're, you know, we're getting further up the pitch. Whereas having watched the game back today, watching Portsmouth, they were doing a lot of the cross field passes and everything, you know, long ball passes, and they weren't getting anywhere. But we were playing on the floor, and it was just so nice to see Orient playing football and not long ball, hoofball. Mm.
Yeah, so it's very true. And then we have Dan Happ assisting Jordan Brown, I think, to get his second or third goal of the season. So it's nice. He's getting on the score sheet, and it don't matter how you're doing, but it is. So 2-0 up, then we give away a penalty. And you know what's happening in the away, and here we go. You know what I mean? You think they score, they're going to be 2-2 at half time. As it is, he saved it, and then we go 3-0 up. Now, what do we think of that header of what Dan Adji done? Incredible header. He's just absolutely gone in like a bullet. I've watched it back about 5 times, and I can't remember a header from an Orient corner being that good in absolute ages.
I was going to say, he beat his man on the near post, just flicked it back, and it's, whoa.
He leapt like a salmon. That would be the way that you would describe that physical prowess shown there. Such a simple goal. I think Portsmouth would have a major inquiry about conceding in that fashion, because that's such a Sunday morning type goal to concede. But I still can't believe that we scored from 2 corners in 1 game. Because I've never seen it before in my whole career of watching Orient. We scored Jordan Brown's goal against Cambridge was from a corner, but that was more of a bad clearance rather than something that we created. But the two that we scored on Saturday were genuinely through our own moves or whatever. So maybe Mr. McMahon needs a bit of credit, you know, in the bank from the fact that what he did while he was there. We don't know what part he had in these set pieces that are going so well now?
Well, devil's advocate there, I remember Richie talking about the West Ham doing these corners, practice. I wonder if Theo's been practising his in-swinging left-footed corners.
I was going to say, you say about Theo hitting form at the right time, that's a big part of his game, is the corners, so it's he's definitely been practising and he's definitely getting...
Cause you know what I mean? We're now getting a consistent corner taker on the same size, and, you know, it's everybody knows their role. I mean, I think we had the scandal of the cards a few years back. They hold up a certain card with the colour of it and that'd be the corner. This sort of overcomplicating football. You whip it in at that near post and it's going to cause havoc, isn't it? I mean, every time that corner come in from Theo, you think something's going to happen. I mean, I haven't seen that for a while. I mean, you think that you're Tom James and people like that should be able to put it on somebody's head the way he does. But an in-swinging corner in League One is going to cause you havoc all day long, and bravo for Adji getting on the end of it. I mean, if you had a mic down here, you would have heard the thump of it going in as well, so there you go.
It was a fantastic header. I think we should throw Theo a challenge to convert more from his corners than yellow cards that he receives during the course of the season. Well, that would be an interesting stat come the end of the season, whether he can beat it.
Well, I don't think Jordan Brand's the yellow card man now, isn't he? I think he's top of the pile with about 8 or 9.
Yeah, he's on 8 at the moment, yeah. So he'd be having a little break if he's not too careful. Well, some of them are silly, but I think if you take some of that out of people's games, then, you know, we do get a lot. But, like I say, I think Richie alluded to the other week. I listened to him, he said, oh, well, it's part of it, isn't it, you know. So then he goes in 3 up, which is lovely, and... we'll have a joyful half-time. You know, you don't get many times that you're 3-0 up away from home at half-time. But second half, we weren't even in doubt, was it? We looked completely comfortable. Richie said they sort of matched them up a bit like the way we matched them up at Peterborough away. They made a change. He said it was a bit late making the change. So, you know, every now and then Richie does say he makes a mistake. And not very often he owns up to anything, we know. But wanted no risk last 20 to avoid any momentum twists, and we'll have to say the Orient Away fans were fantastic, weren't they?
They were noisy, weren't they? Well, we were noisy, sorry. It was amazing atmosphere. It was just... I bumped into a couple of the players on the train coming home, and I was asking them if they could hear us, and they said, hear you. We couldn't hear anything else. And it was, so the fact that there was 1,200, I think, Orient, out singing however many, Portsmouth, 10,000, was it?
17,000 plus, well, it was about 19,000, the crowd, I think.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so out singing them, you know. Even Marianne turned around and said, you know, she doesn't think she's seen such a big stadium so empty so early.
Mm.
And we were all still there 10 minutes after the end of the game, still singing, we've got Super Richie Wellens. So.
Mm. Yeah, it was definitely a Richie Wellens masterclass there. And so, I don't know with Richie, how we see the relationship with his fans. I mean, he says, oh, there's no fist pumping yet, but I think we had a little slight dig saying it's good to see they all stayed to the end, probably after the Chesterfield debacle when there was nobody there and he's walked down, there's about 10 of us there, sort of like giving him sort of a ripple of applause. But
sometimes as well, though, you know, I mean, in the defence of the people that are leaving, you know, I mean, that was a Sunday afternoon. You know, some people were still, you know, a lot of us had to rush back for a train because there was only certain trains that you could get. Sometimes if it's on a Tuesday night, if you've got kids with you, you're having to shoot back because it's, you know, school the next day and whatever else. Not everyone can stay to the end all the time when it's not a Saturday. I get it when it's a Saturday, but when it's not a Saturday, it's, you know, I mean, it can be tricky, so...
Bolton away, we were 3-0 down and we were still behind the team.
Mm.
That was 10 minutes in, you would have wasted your time, wouldn't it?
And it was a pretty poor first half by any shape of
But a scintillating second half and standing ovation at the end.
I was going to say, the second half was like, if we'd have played like that all game, we probably would have...
In the end, the players and the management have got to motivate themselves. Despite the, you know, I'll go back to the late 1980s when I was at games and we never broke 50 for away support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to find the motivation yourself rather than rely on the supporters. But it's nice to be in it together and to see the players responding to the support. I'd like to see how many that will go to Reading. It could be a very interesting game, that.
Sold out the initial allocation and they've just got an extra 500 plus tickets.
Get down there early and get some. I ain't got mine yet. So.
Oh, yeah, they've only just got an extra 516, I think it was, they said.
So this support was pretty good, which brings me on to the thought that it's the first time I've ever been in safe standing, and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
So I really would like to see safe standing brought into most football grounds we travel to up and down the country. Now, being the first experience of it, it was good, because if you wanted to sit down, and I think some of them were actually seats that you had to sit in at the front. I may be wrong, I don't know. But basically, so there probably was 10 rows of seats, if you can imagine it, from pitch, well, the goal line backwards, and then everybody else could sort of stand up if you wanted. So for an away fan, I think it's fantastic, because you are all in the same part of the ground and you all got the same sort of get up and go to cheer your side. I understand when you sit in the west side with the average age of about 80, it doesn't really generate much of an atmosphere, and the younger lads in the south stand are trying their best, but you know, when we do go away from home and you get that kind of thing, it's probably a bit of an own goal for Portsmouth in a way to offer this safe stand. So have you ever safe standing at all, Grant?
Funny enough, the south stand, the cop end at the new Spurs ground, has some safe standing in it. Which is good. Yeah, I'd like to see it in a lot of grounds. Sometimes there are practicalities that it doesn't work. I think we're talking about maybe converting the east stand that used to be the terrace, like next to the dugouts in the old days, the front section, into safe standing, but that didn't happen. Maybe there was a good reason for that. Mm. It's not a criticism, it's just the fact that it didn't happen. But yeah, I'd like to see it more. I enjoy it. At Chesterfield, we're talking about Chesterfield a lot tonight, I stood up the whole game anyway. I like to go to the back of the stand, and then I'm not blocking anyone's view. I prefer to stand and watch the game.
Yeah. Well, normally, I'm the other way around. Normally, I would be near the front of the stand, because I'll be with those of you that know me from travelling to the games. I'd travel to the football with my 80-year-old mother. And so normally we would go down the front so that we could see and mum can have a seat, and so we're all together. But at Portsmouth, we were at the very back, and, okay, you know, I mean, Rose couldn't sit down. She didn't want to sit down because of the safe standing, and there was somewhere for her to lean. That's all she wants, is somewhere to lean. She doesn't particularly want... You know, she's not fussed if people are standing up around her. She'll stand up as well, but she just needs to lean on something. Do you know what I mean? Good. Rather than me.
good for all ages, then,
so,
isn't it, really?
Yeah, but, I was under the impression with the safe standing that you would either have the seats locked down, like you say about the 10 rows or whatever at the front, you'd have the seats locked down, or they would be locked up. Whereas I did notice that the seats... You could sit down if you wanted to. So basically, I pulled the seat down and stood on it. But that's beside the point. But that was... I did like it. And, you know, for the fact that my mum was... We were at the back and we were actually able to join in some of the atmosphere. Hence, I missed the goals. But that's beside the point. It was... I really liked it. And I'd like to see it in more places. Yeah. And at Orient as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. I mean... Carrying just the last little bit about Portsmouth, I mean, it's been a nice chat. I went on to the Pompey website and got the comments of their manager. I just wanted to see what he said, because it's always occasionally, you know what I mean, because I thought we really were good. And this is just a sort of a snippet of it. He said Leighton Orient deserved to win. And then he followed that immediately by Pompey were very poor in every aspect and we didn't look like scoring. And he also carried on to say that they were unrecognisable from the standards we set so far. And then the one that made me laugh the most was, we haven't had an easy game all season. I mean, I think every League One manager must say that. I mean, it's sort of the Richie Wellens default thing as well. And then he goes on to say, nice goal, the first goal. And then he said, he goes, Leighton Orient were great at set pieces. I mean, I'm not sure their scouts have been watching us this season, but I can tell you now, John, they're the best we've done all season.
I was going to say they might have to type that bit up and frame it.
Yeah. And he said their heads dropped, and it's a big stage for the season for Pompey. Now, I think they could easily slip out the top two quite easily, and I think Richie said in... his interview just now that the home game, which I was on holiday for, was never a 4-0. I mean, can you remember the 4-0 game for straight after Charlton, our first home game of the season?
It was a little bit the same as the Derby game, wasn't it? I don't think that really the Derby game either was a 3-0 home defeat.
It was harsh.
In the balance of play. And I think the Portsmouth game, I do get the point. I mean, unfortunately, it's about being clinical in both boxes. And that was an example where we weren't in those two games. But I can draw a comparison between the Derby game and Portsmouth. And I do take the point. To be honest, sometimes you just got to move on and not reflect too much. And you do have bad results. And hopefully we won't have another one against the top team at home on Saturday, because that's going to be a tough one coming
up. Yeah, it was the first game of the season, wasn't it? The Portsmouth game, the first home game of the season. And to be fair to John Messino, he was just as, said nice things about Orient after that game as well. And he's good friends with Peter Kitchen, and he came in to support us.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And so if it goes on that Portsmouth beat us 4-0 and Derby beat us 3-0, it means we're going to win at Pride Park later in the year. So that sounds good to me, because that'd be another nice scout, wouldn't it? Anyway, we are now going to have a listen to what Dave Victor had in Victor's View.
We have had to wait a long time to see Dan Ajayi in Leighton Orient's starting 11. He is now making a real impact. His strength and athleticism, coupled with the all-important ability to hold up the ball, enabling others to join the attack, has transformed the O-Strike force. Shaq Ford's ambition, together with the pace and determination of Pio Archibald, was just too much for the league leaders. Saturday's wonderful performance, a genuine team effort. Solbwin's penalty save, a huge moment in the game. Omar Beckles, a massive influence in both penalty areas. His know-how and strength played a significant part in Orient's third, and definitely worthy of an assist. Omar's partnership with Dan Happy, as solid as it was in those vital final matches that saw us secure the title last year. Tom James was my man of the match. He read the game so well, covering at the back, pressing forward at every opportunity. His long throws presented a real menace for Pompey's beleaguered defenders. Ethan Galbraith looks confident and comfortable at right back, always willing to go forward. Max Sanders, returning to full fitness, offers so much. The pass that set up Shaq Ford was of the highest quality. Idris El Mazzouni's work rate impressed and ensured that the O's won that all-important midfield battle. Each of Leighton Orient's substitutes played their part in a display that will always be remembered by the travelling faithful, who will appreciate the threat that Richie Welland's side now present from corners and set pieces. After four straight clean sheets, the O's boss cites the response from going three down after just 11 minutes at Bolton as the turning point. The character and the resolve that the players have demonstrated should not be taken for granted, and it reflects the outstanding leadership of Richie and his coaching team. Wanderers are now just 2 points behind Portsmouth, and they have 3 games in hand after their match with Cheltenham was stopped after 29 minutes following a medical emergency in the crowd. For Tuesday night's FA Cup tie with Luton, there was an impeccable minute silence in memory of Ian Perslow. After our loss of Derek Reynolds, the O's know more than most of the impact of such a tragic incident has on the whole club. And I know that supporters of both the O's and Bolton will demonstrate mutual respect this weekend. Wanderers out of the cup, and they'll be determined to secure their main priority, and that's promotion. The Trotters are currently fourth in the form table, winning 4. Their only league defeat came at home against Bristol Rovers when Santos was sent off. The O's are second in the form league, same record as Wanderers, but they've scored 2 more goals. It's Peterborough that are top, 4 wins, 2 draws. At the time of recording this piece, the only movement in the transfer window has been the return of Brandon Cooper. And there is no doubt that the former Swansea defender had a positive impact when he first came to Brisbane Road. The O's will be looking to improve on a record in E10 that's seen just 1 win in the last 6 and maintain their incredible 100% record in 2024.
Well, there we go. Thank you, Dave, for this week's Victor's View. Well, on the back of our great win at Portsmouth, Solbwin managed his 4th successive league clean sheet. Now, Sol, who joined us this year on loan, has a previous loan spell with Queen of the South. We had 16 appearances, and Swindon last season with 46 appearances, and currently he's played 23 times for the O's this year. So he's only 23, and he's having, I think, quite a good progression. Now, If I ask a question now, we'll give you the answer in a second. Who holds the record for the most successive clean sheets for Orient? So, give you a second to think of that. But meanwhile, we're going to talk about Sol and how we think he's doing this year. Anybody want to start?
He's doing well. I thought at the start of the season he showed himself to be an excellent shot stopper. Some of his distribution wasn't quite what it would be, and you could see from the manager's bench, from the dugout, that Richie was sometimes getting a bit frustrated with that. And as to say, sometimes on crosses, he looked a little bit like he lacked a little bit of confidence on crosses to start with, but he's definitely worked on that. He's improved markedly with regards to crosses, which is great because it gives the defence confidence to know that, you know, and the ball may then come quickly back up the field to the forward players that are up from a set piece, etc., if he's come together. And I've been very impressed. I would have put him at a 6 or 7 earlier in the season by way of my player ratings, but now I put him at a good 8. And he's been a major factor in the run of clean sheets, which obviously has led to a great raft of points over the last 4 or 5 games, because when you keep clean sheets, points are going to come if you nick a goal or two.
So, Kieran, do you think also with the introduction of Dan Ajay up front and the slight change of position of Ford and Archibald's being further up the pitch has helped the midfield and the defence push us up the park, and also aided Sol not to be as busy as he was at the start of the season, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, you know, go back to the fact I was watching the Portsmouth game today on the watch back, and watching how their goalkeeper was playing compared to how Sol was playing. Sol was comfortable when he was in the goal, and yeah, okay, you know, this is just one specific game. But their goalkeeper just, you know, he wasn't even in the 18-yard box half the time. He was like just kept trying to push them all forward. Whereas I think with our players playing more forward, it's pulling the team more forward. And so it's, you know, I mean, it's just giving him the confidence to have the space and to see where the ball's coming. You know, I mean, because sometimes if you've got too many people around you as well, you can't even see where it's coming as well.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, he's... We've got to remember, we've been spoiled with 2.5 years or however long we had Lawrence Vigor.
3.5, I think. Yeah,
I know it was a half because I remember him coming in the January. But it's like we've had such a superb goalkeeper for such a long time, and you know we've had the promotions thanks to him. Well, not just him, but Sol brings somebody that's starting out and he's coming through. He was player of the season last season at Swindon.
Mm.
You know, he played the 46 games for them, but he was their player of the season and he was a lone player. Mm. You know, so it goes to show you what the players were like at Swindon last year, I suppose. But the fact that he's come to us on loan and he's still learning, he's still a Middlesbrough player, but he wants to be down at Leighton Orient, I just think, you know, I'm happy. I think he's coming on leaps and bounds, and I do think he's got good competition as well with Sam Howes, because, you know, you look at Sam Howes when he played to start with, when he first had to come in when Brin had hurt his foot, and then, like, that first couple of games, and everyone's like, oh, my God, what have we done? We've got one on loan, and we've got that's crocked, and we've got another one that can't do it. And then that game at Blackpool, he was amazing.
Mm. Yeah,
and he was man of the match. So yeah. It just goes to show, just some, you know, I mean, sometimes, OK, you haven't got time on your side, but at the moment, we've got a little bit of time, so and we've given him the time, and he's paid us back by being as good as he's been.
The only worry I have, I mean, I think it's incredibly important to have a good goalkeeper, obviously, and getting one on contract instead of him being on loan. I'm not saying it'd be probably in our wildest dreams if we signed him, but who thought we would have got Lawrence? You know, as simple as that, you know what I mean? So, because we all know from previous experience how you can be recalled, and it probably derailed our promotion push in 13, 14, whatever it is, when Jakubovic come in and got recalled and things like that. So it causes so much disruption to the squad. So I would like Orient, not in this window, of course, but maybe the summer window to actually, I think, get somebody on a 2 to 3 year contract like we did before in the goalkeeping position.
I do think for every youngster that you have coming through in any position, every youngster you've got coming through, you've got a more mature player that's going to be on their way down. So hopefully, when you've got, you know, if we, you know, look at some of the Premier League Championship clubs where they've got these young, this young talent coming through, what's going to happen to the older guys? If they still want to play regular football, well, you know, why not? You could do a hell of a lot worse than look at Lake Norman or some League One or Two clubs.
So, any clues, unless you've looked at my notes here, who holds a record for the most successive league clean sheets? Lawrence Vigrew got four at one point. So, Souls joined him there.
And the John Jackson?
No, he doesn't feature on the, in the list. I mean, what's Jamie Jones got four. We all know him. I'll tell you the ones we know first. But the
Scott Barrett?
No, it goes back to 1970-71. I think Orient drew about 400 games, nil-nil. But Ray Goddard, six successive clean sheets. Okay. It just goes to show how hard it is for a team, let alone a goalkeeper, to keep clean sheets. I mean, then see some of these. Arthur Wood, he had five. That was in 1923-24. Jimmy Hoogle, who's a bit of a character, 1913-14. He done it twice in 14-15, so he's done it five. But, you know, it's a big game for Seoul because he could sort of, on Saturday, get up to five, and then Reading, potential keeping a clean sheet there if they're not firing. So it'd be nice if we can come back in a 4 weeks' time and Seoul's kept eight clean sheets, isn't it? So, but yeah, thanks to Barry Twin for that. He sent me that stat. He loves a stat, and plus he's part of the goalkeeper union. And
so he loves a goalie stat more.
And I didn't thank him for the, what was it? The, let me check this, the, for the one before Christmas, which player scored him a goal every day of the week. So we haven't done that. So that's all about Sol Brin. So we wish Sol all the best for Saturday, and hope he keeps another clean sheet with his players. Anyway, we're going to come on quickly now to some supporters club news from Karen, and she's got a little bit to say.
Yeah, no, just to say that we look forward to welcoming you back to the supporters club. We're open for our one home fixture for January, which is Bolton on Saturday, doors at midday. If anybody's interested in travelling on the coach to any of the fixtures, then do check out the website orientsupporters.org, and it should be there. Click on the front page, on the home page, there should be a link there for away travel. And also, on Saturday's fixture against Bolton, as much as there might be something going on in memory of Ian Purslow, who's the Bolton supporter who passed, but there's also something that a lot of the League One clubs have all got together, supporters clubs and fans unit, through the FSA, have all got together, and they want to do, on 16 minutes, they want to do something to support Reading, help support Reading in their plight. Why it's the 16th minute, I'm unsure, but they want to do something on the 16th minute to, like I say, help support Reading. So if you look on the social media, on the We Are the FSA, I think it is on Twitter and on their website, there should be something on there soon, I would think.
Yeah, well, we're all off to Reading.
But we know what they're going through, don't we, Reading?
Yeah, we're going there the week after. I mean, I think the Port Vale fans who made the trip, the Reading fans, I think they donated money towards...
Oh, to a statue of an old player.
John Rudge or something like that, maybe. I don't know, but the Reading fans were all on social media being quite generous and thanked Port Vale for doing that, but Port Vale obviously is going to travel a lot further than us in the Elizabeth Line Derby, as some people are calling it. So, anyway, we're now going to come on to Orient have made a signing this week, and it was Brandon Cooper. I'm not sure what everybody thinks about it, but we'll have a little chat about it. He's been given a 2.5-year contract. He's 24 years old. So, previously, he was on loan to Yeovil in 2020, made three appearances. He was then at Newport, at 19 appearances and one goal. So he's not done that for the O's yet. 2022, Swindon, eight appearances. 2023, Forest Green Rovers, 21 appearances. And this year, he had 14 appearances before signing for Orient. And he's played nine times for the Wales under 21. But he also did make five appearances for Swansea, so they would have been in the Championship, and that's after being a youth team player for them from 2006. So He's found a permanent home after 3 or 4 years on the loan. As you've got Welsh ties, Kieran, what do we think?
Yeah, I'm quite excited, actually. I know he's had a little bit of a discipline issue back in December. But, yeah, no, I'm quite excited. I'm glad he's staying, and fingers crossed he gets that discipline sorted out and he carries on with the good football that he was playing.
Meaning no disrespect whatsoever to Adam Thompson, but I imagine his days at the Orient are numbered. And for me, this is a really good upgrade on what Adam Thompson at the moment adds to the squad. Yes, I know he had the sending off, which was a little bit of a red mist time. But when you look back at his loan, he's actually won man of the match or been voted man of the match on a number of occasions. The Chesterfield away game, again, we're going back to that bloody defeat again, but he came in late because there was an injury. I think Happy was injured in the warm-up, and he was our man of the match in that game. There's definite potential there. What I would say about coaching and players, etc., is you can't coach and invent talent, but what you can coach is mentality, and that's something that obviously Richie feels that he can do that. And hopefully he can sort out a little bit. He's quite young. He's got 100-odd games under his belt, which is actually around about the same as what Sol Brin's got. So he's got some decent experience and obviously pedigree. No disrespect to Wales, but, you know, under 21 caps, probably a little bit easier to come by than they are for England. But it's still good. He's got international pedigree to an extent. That experience will help, and I think it's a good upgrade. We don't know what's going to happen with Ed Turns, how long he'll stay. He's not really in playing much at the moment, and then Beckles, etc. Beckles and Happy, we don't know what's going to happen with them. So for me, it's a good signing. Let's just hope that he keeps his elbows down by his side rather than up from going forward. We've been quite lucky. We haven't had that many straight reds this season, but that one was fully deserved, and let's hope we don't get a repeat of that. He's right footed as well. I wanted to add that adds also another dimension. We've got Happy, we've got players with left footed left sided centre backs, but Cooper's got his right footed, so that also adds the extra dimension to partner up with the other centre backs within the squad.
I've liked him from day one, and I understand people get a bit annoyed if somebody gets sent off, but you've got a little bit of an edge in your game, then you can't take that out of them. I mean, I thought he was a bit unlucky with the Gillingham sending off, to be honest. I think he got sent off in that silly cup, whatever it's called. But overall, I think he will make the Orient defence a hell of a lot stronger. And like I said earlier in the show, giving contracts out, 2.5 year contracts, is all good, because if the natural progression how we're going is going the right way, then he could be another 40, 50 games under his belt when we could be challenging for the top spots. And regardless of what the conspiracy theorists think on Twitter and all that, he's a replacement Hap, who knows? That's without... we can't take that worry at the moment, you know what I mean? You would hope that the way the club are playing at the moment and each player's individual form, they would stay anyway. So we're now going to have a listen to Roper's rant, so hopefully he's in a good mood.
Welcome back to Roper's rant. Now, if I were a Portsmouth fan and this were a Pompey show, then boy would I likely be ranting. But following the 90 minutes last Saturday on the South Coast, it's more panting than ranting, as we almost made it 4-4 on aggregate for the season. What a performance, eh? Yes, Pompey were on a bad run, but make no mistake about it, this 3-0 victory was totally deserved and was every bit likely our best performance of the season. We played it superbly. Straight into them, silence the home crowd, buoy up the away end, play good football, create chances, take them and defend manfully when called upon. There wasn't one player with a rating of less than 8 out of 10 and a few deserved 9s, as everyone in a white shirt did their job to the letter. That victory kept our unbeaten start to 2024 going. That's done it for this Saturday. And moved us into a very respectable and healthy 10th place. Yes, there are likely some that will point to how high we could be if we badgered Kent to open his wallet a little more. But it also shows that we really are still on course for the next part of the 3-year plan, and that progression is rife, even when we faced adversity this year through injuries, tragedy and outside influences, as well as us not playing at our best. On tragedy, may I offer my heartfelt condolences to Ian, the Bolton fan, who sadly lost his life for their home game last Saturday. This is obviously still quite a horribly raw subject in E10, and once again it was fantastic to see the number of clubs and supporters from all over the UK offering their thoughts and prayers to Ian's family through social media. I'm sure we'll be offering our respect before, during and after the game Saturday, when we do of course host Wanderers in East London in what should be a cracking game. R.I.P. Ian. Moving on, and whilst talking about mutual supporter respect, it was also great to see how many offered their support to Reading. The situation in Berkshire is now believed to be ridiculously acute. Players not paid again, a fire sale of players, and it's even gone so far as to the CEO doing his best Alessandro Aguilera impression and actually defending the way Reading are running their club? You seriously could not make it up. The only shock here on Saturday was that the game wasn't actually declared null and void, the pitch cleared, and then the remaining 74 minutes at the Majeski Stadium played out in an empty ground. We all know about that down here, don't we? I'll save the rant on their situation, unscrupulous owners, the EFL and a possible independent regulator for another day, as I could probably do 60 minutes and fill the whole show on my own on that one. Back to Portsmouth. What a joy it was to see us play so well. Everything went right, but not through luck. Our pressing of the football in key areas was a major factor in the win, as was the use of the football within possession. And for the first time in maybe a good couple of months, we looked far more positive and confident with the ball at our feet. We were happy to go backwards, but it all seemed to have a purpose and an end game, which led us to keep in Portsmouth penned in their own half for what seemed like an eternity. Let's face it, had we won 4 or 5 nil, that wouldn't have been an injustice. This Saturday we'll see another stiff test. Bolton will likely bring far sterner opposition than Pompey, and we could ill afford to do what we did up there a few weeks ago, certainly in the opening salvos. I have said for some time that we look far better when we impose ourselves on the game, whether home or away, and surely both the management, players and fans will be up for making a fast start against the Trotters, and letting them know that if they want a point or three, they're going to have to work really hard to get them. I, like all of us, don't want to rest on our laurels. But the start to the year, and perhaps the rather unexpected win at Portsmouth, has given us a bit of breathing space. If we were to come a cropper, it's then not so bad. But let's not talk like that, and look forward to another very positive performance, and fingers crossed, 3 points in the bag. A win Saturday could take us to a crazy ninth, and as little as 8 points off the playoffs. Now, that's not me saying, oh look, here we come. I'd rather settle for the line of, if we were to finish inside the top 10 this season, then that is boxes ticked and job done, with the caveat that we further improve in 24-25. The last 6 years for me has all been about momentum. Edinburgh came in, gave the club a massive lift, and look what happened. Wellens came in and gave the club a further lift, and look what happened. And with the memory still fresh, it will be amazing just what a good run of form and momentum could do for us till May and beyond. Finally, let's look at the January transfer window. Our window has been very much shut until yesterday. Well, it is Baltic out there, so why would you open it? Yep, dad jokes included in this section of the show, but I'll get my coat. The signing of Cooper is a very interesting one. Some are pointing out to his disciplinary record, some are pointing to the fact about did we need a centre-back, and some have championed the move based on the form he had when he first arrived. They're all worthy discussion points, but certainly if a younger progressive player can recapture his form when he first zoomed down the M4, and yes, I have to say go careful with his disciplinary record, then it's likely another piece of the jigsaw going into place in terms of forward planning. Welcome back, Brandon. Good luck, and here's to a successful 2.5 years as a fully-fledged O. Right, that's me done for now. The new issue of Pandemonium Fanzine is out, and you can get a copy from approximately 1:30 outside the club shop on Oliver Road on Saturday for £1. So please support the fanzine in whatever way you can and help keep print alive. It's just left for me to say that everyone should make every effort to get down to church Saturday. Let's pack the place out, make it noisy, and hopefully we'll enjoy another scintillating game and end the afternoon by rocking all over the world. It's all right, I'm not going to sing it. Up the mighty O's.
There you go, no singing for Matt, thank goodness for that. Anyway, so let's have a little quick talk about the transfer window, because we've been rambling on all night. Do you think the Pompey result has taken the pressure off the transfer committee, which we don't really hear much about nowadays, do we? What do we think?
I don't think there was a great deal of pressure anyway. I think it was always pretty much a given that we were only going to add one or two players, and it's actually been more about what players might go rather than the ones that we might add. I still think they're probably looking for a forward player, and I think there was a mention of the fact that we're expecting someone in the building this week. So I think we'll probably have one addition. What exactly the position they'll play in, and whether it will be a loan, maybe from a young loanee from a Prem team or something like that. I have a feeling it might be the case. And whether anyone comes in for the likes of Adam Thompson, or maybe George Moncur possibly might go out on loan with a shared arrangement for the wages to a League Two club, so he can get some games under his belt and some fitness back. But other than that, I don't really see a lot happening, and it's a really nice place to be. We feel that we don't really need it at the moment. There aren't many people that think that we really need to. With Adji now finding form, and even with the loss of Jordan Graham, is it really that place really where we would like to, you know, take the pressure off Theo with his crossing?
I was going to say, I think, if I remember rightly, Richie said something in one of his post-matches a while ago that Theo, is it his knee or something?
Yeah.
So he doesn't really want to be playing him 90 minutes all the time, but he has to at the moment because we've lost Graham and otherwise there's not much creativity. So
a lot of fixtures in February.
Yes.
Kieran, you're saying you only had one home game in January. You've got five in February to look forward to. So as I said, there's going to be a lot of, I think we're Saturday, Tuesday pretty much every week right the way through, slam through the month, so the squad depth's going to be tested.
I think you might bring somebody in sort of, you know, to cover, you know, an attacking winger maybe.
That's the area, I think.
Okay then, time is rapidly catching up with us tonight. Just one thing I see in the transfer window: Harry Lewis from Bradford went to Carlo, which I thought was good business for a goalkeeper. Anyway, we're going to have some quick predictions and your quick thoughts on Bolton at home.
Quite looking forward to it, actually. Didn't they lose in the FA Cup yesterday to Luton?
Yeah, 2-1 they lost, yeah.
But I think they were winning at one stage as well. So hopefully their heads will be a bit down and they'll be a bit fed up and tired from that. So, 3-1 Orient.
I'm predicting a good game. I hate to say that because they like to play football and so do we. I'm going to predict a 2-2.
Okay, well, they've got three games in hand over Pompey, and the top six is split by 4 points, and with the O's being 14 points off the final playoff spot, I'm going to have to say, I'm all for Solbrin this weekend. I think we're going to really have a nail-biting 1-0 victory to the O's. So good luck, everybody. Have a great week, and get down the Orient on Saturday, and up the O's.
We're not sitting, we're not at town. We're the only one of us around. And but sadly, comes again. We'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're laying on you from a 10. We're laying on you from a 10. This is our club, we are proud. So sing it up and sing aloud. In 1881, the Claps and Orient had so begun. The old story on it runs. We're late and Orient from E10. Whatever challenges come our way, the Orient faithful are here to stay. We will look to find another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. Yeah! We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. This is that club, we are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. Yeah, you know where we can be found. But Saturday comes again.
obsessed with Lane and Ari's plumbing scent.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.